fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Let our motto be, don't tread on me. LibertyRadioLive.com. Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. We're continuing our study here today in Judges. We got all the way to Judges chapter 14, and we started to read about Samson and didn't get too far into that chapter. Before we ran into the end of the hour. So we're just going to backtrack a little bit, a few verses there, and start at Judges chapter 14 and verse 1. And let's jump right in today. Chapter 14 and verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman of Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren and among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Now, of course, the law required that a man honor his father and his mother. Now, hold on a second. As a matter of fact, one of the Ten Commandments is that, with promise, the only positive of the Ten Commandments, because all of the commandments say, thou shalt not, except for that one that says to honor your father and mother. And part of the honor was for them, we're going back to Hebrew times, I know this seems repugnant to American romantic society, where the god of relationships is romance, and Ashtaroth, and with all the hearts and the fertility worship and the Valentines and all that. So this, what I say, is somewhat repugnant that parents should choose the mates for their children, and to honor their father and their mother, and to obey their parents in the Lord, they would allow that. A daughter would not marry a man that was not approved by her father, and a man would not marry a daughter that was not approved by his father. So that's, and usually marriages were arranged, or for the most part, the law allowed for the marriages to be arranged. But we see Samson, he sees a woman of the Philistines, and of course, you know what happens when a young man sees a pretty young woman, he may tend to lust after her. That reminds me of the scripture that you go back to Genesis, where it says the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And what we see is a change in focus there from men that served God, the sons of God, and saw the daughters of men, and they took themselves wives. They were looking on the form, the same thing that Samson is doing here, and worshiping the creature or the creation rather than the creator, and rather than looking to the parents and following the law of our Heavenly Father. So Samson says, get her. And I believe that's a problem that a lot of parents have, is they do everything they can to please their children, especially in an age where there is no spanking allowed. Definitely you don't want to use the rod, regardless that the scripture says spare the rod and spoil the child, because the rod was the implement of punishment used for the backside, and I believe that would be properly placed on the buttocks, when it says for the back of him, and because when you're disciplining a child, you don't want to cause any permanent damage. You just want to get the message through. But the rod is the appropriate implement to use on the backside of your child. Now, the modern ones who allow spanking, they say that you should never hit a child with anything but your hand. Well, you don't want your hand to become associated or to be identified as an implement of punishment. So I think the wisdom of the scripture there is correct to use another object. And that way, because your hand is always attached, and you can use your hand to strike out in anger. And then any time you raise your hand or you come near your child with your hand, you have that implement of punishment attached to you. You can't put it off. So there's more wisdom in using a rod or a stick, or some people call it the board of correction, as the scripture prescribes. And that way you have to think before you go pick it up. And that way when the child sees it, that they know what it is. And they don't fear the punishment until they see the implement of punishment. So a little more has to go on there. And the association is not with the hand of the parent, but rather with the rod of punishment. And it takes some thought. They have to earn it. The parent at least has to think enough to go get it. And that way, no rash punishment or out of or thoughtless anger is administered by the hand. Anyway, just something that goes contrary to the wisdom or the spirit of the age. But getting back to Samson, is now bossing his parents around, and it seems his father is meekly saying, can't you find? They should have said no, at least by my way of thinking. But let's read on. Then his father and mother said to him, why do you have to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. And that's pretty much the end of the argument. Though it grieved his parents, I guess they went and got her, because that's what happened. It says, but his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Oh, so is God making an exception in his law here? No, his law was still broken. And it was from him that the Heavenly Father will use our circumstances, our lack of discipline, for his purpose. You know, the scripture says that in Romans 8:28, and everyone should have this one memorized, Romans 8:28 and on, that we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, for those that are called according to his purpose. And it goes on, because for who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his only begotten Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. But what is that saying? Does it say that everything that happens to us, that all things work together? It doesn't mean that all things are his will, or that everything that happens is lawful according to his law, but it means that even our weaknesses he uses for his purpose. And I see that every man that he used had weaknesses and had faults, like Samson, like me, like you. But he's going to take all those things in our life, all those things that were in Samson's life, and he's going to use them for good, for those of us who love our Heavenly Father and are called according to his purpose. So we know that all things work for good. Now, as I often say, that for those that don't love God, things ain't going to work out for their good, unfortunately. And that's a warning and a call for all of you people that don't love him. Perhaps you better repent, and you better get on your knees and you cry out to the Heavenly Father for mercy. Say, I have sinned. I have lived a life that's contrary to your will and your law, and what pleases you, teach me how to love you. And there's a prayer that he will answer, a prayer of true repentance and a cry that says, I want to keep that first and great commandment that says to love you, to love the Lord your God, as it says in the Authorized King James Version, with all your heart, with all your soul. And then the second one is like unto it when Yahshua, that is Jesus, was asked, what is the great commandment? And he said, the second one is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you don't get that first one first, you can't do the second one in a way that's pleasing to God, because you can love your neighbor selfishly too. And thinking about yourself, there's the wrong way to love your neighbor and there's the right way to love your neighbor. The way the world loves the neighbor is to steal from one and give to another. And of course, the homosexuals, they have their idea of what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. So unless you get the loving God first, you can just forget about loving your neighbors yourself, because no matter what you do, it's going to be wrong. The intent of your heart is going to be wrong. You know, not that giving to the poor and to good charities is wrong, but the intent of your heart in giving will rob you of any reward in heaven if you skip the first commandment and the first part of that commandment, and that is to love our Heavenly Father and desire, because to love him is to truly have a desire to live a life that is pleasing to him, and then acting upon that desire by finding out what is pleasing to him and repenting of the things that do not please him, and to start practicing righteousness, those things that please him. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Because if you don't seek and his righteousness, you won't find his kingdom. Yeah, just look for the clues. They're all there. And don't accept any counterfeit kingdoms of heaven on earth that include socialist schemes where you rob one to give to another and you love your neighbor in lust. Those are all counterfeits, and they lead to destruction and hellfire forever. Let's continue with Samson, our story here. And but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he had sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the spirit of Yahuwah, and of course it's the name of our Creator there in the Textus Receptus, and translated the Lord in the Authorized King James Version. So the spirit of Yahuwah came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. So here's Samson, he had nothing, no weapon in his hand, and this mighty lion comes on him, and he grabs him, and he rents him, and to rent something means to tear it, and he tore it as he would have rent a kid, with nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Very interesting. What could it mean? And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat. And he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said to them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you, if you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if you cannot declare it unto me, then you shall give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that we have? Is it not so? Well, that's kind of archaic in the English there, even though they somewhat tried to clarify it with the Authorized Version. Is it not so? So Samson, he does something that probably nobody has ever done or seen, and he makes a riddle out of it. And of course, who could guess the riddle? I would never be able to guess it. And these guys kind of hastily take up his challenge before hearing the riddle. It's kind of a foolish thing to do. But listen to how diabolical these people are. We're going to burn your family with fire. You know, over what? Well, 30 changes of garments and 30 sheets. And, you know, that's fairly great riches in Samson's day. I mean, all cloth was handmade, and somebody had to make that cloth. And, yeah, that would cost them dearly. But it goes to show you what the god of the Philistines was truly mammon, and how they worshipped things. And their desire for things, well, it's much like in the land where I live today. People value things much higher than everything else. I just recalled that verse, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and that is to do those things which please our Heavenly Father that are right in his sight. And he goes, and the scripture verse goes on, and all these things shall be added to you. And of course, all these things, if you go back to the prior verse in the text there, it says, after all these things, do the Gentiles or the nations seek? And in context, it's the other nations other than Israel, and really other than his holy people, because Israel at that time, national Israel, was in great sin and great abomination, and such abomination that it brought about the desolation of Jerusalem that was foretold by Daniel the prophet. But that gets way off of our topic. But, you know, I grew up in a land here where you're schooled. You grew up with the television, the boob tube, and many children spend much of their time in front of the boob tube watching the commercials that teach you to lust after things as if it's normal, and it becomes normal. Then you have to have the things. And then, of course, they have their unjust weight balance monetary system, and you can become a card-carrying member of that you can take part in that, and on demand be a, well, how would I put that? Part of the creative force of that abominable system by getting the things you lust for, signing a note, they'll create the money for you, and you can have it, whatever you lust after, right? All of those things that the world promises. Now, we have need of things. We need shelter. We need a mode of travel, perhaps. We need food and we need clothing. And our Heavenly Father, through His Son, said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all of the things that you need will be added to you." He's saying, "I will take care of you. You seek my kingdom. Don't worry about the things. I got it covered." But after all these things, do the heathen or the ungodly seek? And that's what these guys were seeking. Because, you know, wherever your treasure is, there your heart is also. To borrow another verse from our Messiah. Well, you can see where these guys' hearts were. They did not want to part from the goods of this world, from the things of this world, so much so that they threaten to burn this gal's family with fire if she doesn't find out the riddle, so that they don't have to suffer the damage of losing 30 garments and 30 sheets. So they say this to her. They said, "Entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that we have?" So you brought us, you married this guy, you called us to a wedding, and now you're going to take that we have. It shouldn't be so. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, "Thou dost but hate me, and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told me." And he said to them, "Behold, I have not told it my father or my mother, and shall I tell it to thee?" And she wept before him 7 days, while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him in the seventh day before the sun went down, "What is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion?" And he said unto them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you had not found out my riddle." He gives them another riddle, which is the answer is obvious there. He speaks in a riddle, I should say. And the spirit of Yahuwah came on him, and he went down to Ashkelon. And we'll find out in our next segment what happened when he went down to Ashkelon. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through the book of Judges in chapter 14 and verse 9. That's where we'll pick up when we get back.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and our Heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Listening to Cross the Border. We're going to continue in Judges here. Judges chapter 14 and verse 19. And the Spirit of Yahuwah came upon him, speaking of Samson, of course, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. Well, don't mess with Samson, right? Oh, man. Ashkelon. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of the wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go into my wife, into the chamber, but her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her, therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and took firebrands, and turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between the two tails. And he went and set the brands on fire, and he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines, and burn up both shocks and also standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistine says, Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etam. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, Why are you come up against us? And they answered, To bind Samson, and are we come up to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so I have done unto them. And they said to him, We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. Wow. That's like it's like your brethren coming up to you, you know, that call themselves your brethren over there in the corporate church. You're trying to keep the law of Yahuwah, the law of God, and that you do it. And they say, Oh, we got to turn you into the police, man. Yes. We got to turn you into the police so that you can be punished. You know, didn't you commit that hate crime, things like that. We'll see that kind of stuff going on, that people who call themselves Christians will turn in their brethren to the police power. And it shows you just how awfully comfortable people become under tribute and bondage and enslaved to another nation, having another nation over them. They think, well, I'll just pay the tribute. I'll just live in peace. And they make whatever compromises that they have to make to continue their life in peace. Okay, so he says, Dad, just give me your word that you will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spoke to him, saying, No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the spirit of Yahuwah came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and he put forth his hand and took it, and slew 3,000 men therewith. And Samson said, With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and he called that place Ramath-Lehi, which means height of a jawbone. There you go, a place in Philistine. And he was sore athirst, and he called on Yahuwah and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God cleaved a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water therefrom. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name of the place En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And of course, the unto this day would be unto the day that that this was written by the one that transcribed the book of Judges. And I don't know if the place is still there and called the same thing unto the day that I'm reading this. But so it says, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there a harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and he took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Seems like Samson went through this once before, didn't he? Okay, and Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. And what is a withe? An overhanging. I guess that's kind of like a vine or something that was never dried. Then I shall be weak and be as another man. Then the Lord of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he broke the withes as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire, so his strength was not known. Then Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then I be weak, and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he broke them off his arms like a thread. Man, it's somewhat comical, you know, reading through this story again, and this woman doing the same thing over and over. So you'll have to forgive me if I chuckle here, but it does seem somewhat funny to me. And Delilah said to Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. He said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with a pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he waked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, you know, you think, well, it's obvious that she's going to betray him each time. So she says to him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Then he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I, a Nazarite, I have been a Nazarite unto God, and from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like any other man. The vow of the Nazarite, being separated from God, was obedience. And that was something that was commanded to his parents, and of course to him, for as long as he lived, to be separated unto the Heavenly Father. And that was called, he was called a Nazarite, not to drink any wine or strong drink, and to never cut his hair, and especially to shave his head. So when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the Lord of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the Lord of the Philistines came up to her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep, and said, I will go out as other times before, and shake myself. And he knew not that Yahuwah was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again, after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of a country which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that we may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me, that I may feel the pillars upon whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Of course, now, remember, Samson is blind. He can't see a thing, because they put out his eyes. So now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines was there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson was made to sport. And Samson called unto the Lord, unto Yahuwah, and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes. And Samson took hold of the 2 middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left hand. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords, and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him, and brought him up, and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol, in the burial place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. And really kind of a sad story, if you ask me. But the fame of Samson will never die. And you know what? I think perhaps in the resurrection, I'll have an occasion to have some words with Samson. I think we all will. Remember, we will have forever. And I believe eventually, those of us that trust in our Heavenly Father's plan for redemption, those of us who have crossed the border into His kingdom, to obtain that treasure beyond treasures, yes, eternal life promised by the work of his Messiah, the shedding of his blood, which is applied to our account in the resurrection. We will have an eternity, and I'm certain that each and every one of us will have an occasion to get around to Samson. You know, a lot of people might think, well, I would never have done what Samson did. I would have never fallen for Delilah. Well, never say never. And can the clay say to the potter, why have you made me thus? And recall the story of Hosea, who was commanded to take himself a wife of harlot tree. And then recall Samson. Remember, it was of Yahuwah. He used the things of Samson's life. He used the negligence of his parents to discipline him and train him to in strict obedience to the Heavenly Father. He uses our weaknesses to work good in our lives. But I tell you what, if you don't love him, that's the scripture, and I'm going to recall it again, Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good, and that is all the evil that befalls us, whether through our own weakness, through the weakness of our parents, our grandparents, if it's not through the weakness of our parents and our grandparents, whether we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, all things, because even the best and the purest among us have faults that our Heavenly Father uses to cleanse us, to purify us, to conform us to the image of His only begotten Son. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, that are called according to His purpose. Because whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His only begotten Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And yes, that is one of my favorite memory verses, and I might have got a word out of place there, but I suggest everyone memorize those three verses and much more of Scripture, because what a thing to remember. Because no matter what I'm going through, if they put me on a bundle of sticks, they bind me hand and foot to a post, and they pile the sticks around me like they did to so many of my brethren, my forebearers in the faith, and they light a fire to me, I can comfort myself with those words, because all things work together, and I can look on those around me and go, wow, you need to repent. Those can be my thoughts. You need to repent. Because if you don't, things aren't going to work out so good for you. You may think it's not working out good for me because you're burning my flesh and killing my body with fire. But this is not forever. Because all flesh is like grass and it withers away. We need to be concerned with what comes after that point. Cross the border into His kingdom. Obtain eternal life. There is absolutely nothing more important. And then endure in His kingdom, as the scripture says, that he who endures to the end shall be saved. Take it apart. Endures what? Well, you have to endure in His kingdom. And that means carrying the cross, putting off the things of the flesh, being separate from the world, enduring to the end. Yes, the end of your mortality. You have to endure it in His kingdom, because if you're not in His kingdom, when your mortality comes to its end, by whatever means, Mack truck, by fire, by firing squad, by old age, however it comes to its end, you must endure in His kingdom, living a life that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father, and doing it because you love Him. You want to please Him. And why do you love Him? Because He loved you first. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved us. we return that love, and we can obtain eternal life in the resurrection. Like I said, we'll all have, I'll have occasion. I don't know when, what's going to happen first, but forever is a very long time. It's a never-ending time, and I certainly do look forward to it. I look forward to receiving that glorified body, though, like the one that Yahshua had when he rose from the dead, a body that could never die again, never suffer. And yes, he had flesh and bone, and he could eat, and he could have enjoyment, and he could appear, he could travel like you couldn't believe. Automobiles are crude, and they're full of labor and peril, as more people are killed in automobile accidents than by any other mode of being killed these days. So we see the labor and the curse that comes with that convenience, the conveniences of the world. That's the best that the world has to offer, people. He has so much more to offer. Okay, we'll be back and we'll continue our study in Judges. Stay tuned, and stay tuned for the news.
Avenue. If he could get by the dealers selling drugs.